everyone, and welcome back to episode 19 of the podcast. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Sarah.
And we're the Travelling Two.
This is our fourth time trying to record this episode because we really don't have much energy right now. I'm sweating buckets. We're in a room where there's only a fan and there's no aircon, so it's not very fun. How do you feel?
I feel fine! It was negative energy! She didn't like her cookie from the night market.
Yeah, we went to a night market and I saw this nut cookie and I thought, oh, that would be nice. And then it turns out just any sweet thing in Asia is not nice. Because they don't do desserts here. And so it tastes very banana-y, very big, dead, very weird. So I'm not happy, Sarah.
No, you weren't happy with that.
Anyway, should we get into the episode?
Yeah.
Yeah. So at the end of our last episode, we were in Cat Bar Island. From Cat Bar Island, we were doing a Ha Long Bay tour. You can do a Ha Long Bay tour from Hanoi, but we decided not to do that because Hanoi is quite far from Ha Long Bay, and so if you do like a day tour on a boat cruise, you'd spend a lot of time travelling on your tour and then travelling back to Hanoi, and it's just not worth the money.
It's just a long way around of doing it. You can do a 1 day one or a 2 day one night, whereas staying in Cat Bar, you're kind of maximising your time
in Ha Long Bay. Yeah, and Ha Long Bay is like one of the seven natural wonders of the world, so we thought we need to give it enough time. So, yeah, we stayed on Cat Bar Island, which we didn't really rate that much at all.
No, I wouldn't rate Cat Bar. Like, there's literally a few beaches. At the time we were there, they were just packed with Vietnamese holiday makers. And there's not really that much on Cat Bar. It's not like the nicest island, I wouldn't say.
No.
But it was, the tour of Ha Long Bay was really good.
Yeah, we did a tour through our hostel. It was Cat Bar Ventures, which I think is the main tour operator from Cat Bar. They've been doing it for years and years and years. And it was a really, really good tour. There was about 40 people on this boat.
It was like a double-decker boat with like the whole of the top was all open. And they went around Lanha Bay as well, which is like south, I think. And then it goes like up to parts of Ha Long Bay and like cruises around. You get to like jump off and go swimming. We went kayaking through caves and to like the jellyfish bay.
Yeah, it was really fun. I really enjoyed like jumping off of the boat from up top. Like everyone was doing it. That was really fun. The kayaking was really good. We saw like a monkey at one point when we were kayaking. Yeah, it was a really, really good tour.
Yeah, it was good. How did you rate Ha Long Bay?
I really liked Ha Long Bay, but I think considering it's one of the seven natural wonders of the world, I didn't think it was that impressive to be on that list.
Mm.
Like, it's cool, it's massive limestone rocks out of the water, but like, I think we've seen places that are a lot more beautiful and a lot more impressive, but it was still cool to see. And I gave Cat Bar, well, as in I gave Ha Long Bay 7 out of 10.
Yeah. I agree. I gave it 7 out of 10 as well. Mm-hmm. And not for Cat Bar. Like, if I was rating Cat Bar as a place itself, that would get, like, a 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, for Ha Long Bay, basically for the day tour,
yeah,
I would give it a 7 out of 10. But I do agree that, like, we've seen a lot more beautiful places, which are not considered a natural wonder of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I did enjoy the day and enjoy the boat. It was really good and it was really well organised. The tour guides were really nice.
Yeah.
And all of the people on it were... Yeah, everyone was a tourist and everyone was just like friendly and enjoying it. Yeah.
Yeah. It was really cool as well, but we saw lots of like fishing villages on the water. And I just remembered about the lucky fish.
Oh, yeah. Underneath the floorboard of the... It was like a house, but
it was a fishing house.
Yeah. And underneath the floorboards, apparently in every single fishing village, they all have these massive fish, which are called lucky fish. And they're just stored there, and then they die, and then they sold it for like a lot of money.
Yeah, they're really expensive. They're like 40 kilograms. They're like hefty fish.
They were huge.
Like so big, but they're supposed to just like bring luck. Yeah, and that's why they keep it hidden, because they don't want people stealing their like lucky fish.
But now everyone on the tour knew about it.
Yeah. So then after Ha Long Bay and Cat Bar Island, we went to Hanoi. So we ended our trip in Vietnam in Hanoi. Normally people do go to Sapa and the Ha Giang Loop as well, which we decided not to do because we didn't quite have enough time to fit it in.
Yeah, you kind of need like a whole extra week, I'd say. Because Sapa, you can do like a couple of days trekking there, and it's mainly rice terraces and meant to be really pretty. And the Hajiang Loop is like a 4-day motorbike loop, which everyone says is like the highlight of their entire trip.
Yeah, everyone was like, what are you so silly, like why are you not going, you come all the way to Vietnam, it's like the best thing in Vietnam to do. And I did feel very like, are we making a bad decision here?
We just didn't have time.
Yeah, so we're gonna have to go back to Vietnam and rate those places for you at some point.
Yeah,
but they are like a number one thing to do in Vietnam, and we would recommend you doing it if you're in Vietnam.
Yeah, I definitely would.
Because everyone else told us to. But anyway, we went to Hanoi, the capital city of Vietnam. What did you rate Hanoi before we even get into it?
I gave Hanoi also a 7 out of 10. Hanoi's like a nice city, I'd say. It's way nicer than Ho Chi Minh. It's quite small. It doesn't have loads there. But the things
I wouldn't say it's small.
Okay, in terms of what it has to do.
Okay, I get you, yeah.
As in, there's not... The actual city, I guess, is quite big. Like, it's quite spread out. I mean, the old
quarter
is the main hub, I'd say.
Yeah.
Which is quite small. You can easily walk around that fairly fast. Everything else, like Ho Chi Minh Museum and, like, all the museums, there's a lot of museums there, they're quite spread out. But I quite enjoyed some of the things in Hanoi. Like, we went to Hoa Lo Prison, which I thought was really interesting and really good. At night, I really liked Hanoi because all of by the lake, like, the main centre, I think, of Hanoi, and, like, all the night markets are there, and it's just really busy and really, like, lit up and vibey and cool. At the same time, it didn't have loads going for it, so it didn't get more than that.
Yeah. I gave Hanoi a 5 out of 10, so not very high.
No.
Like you said, it's a way nicer city than Ho Chi Minh. I would way prefer to go there than to Ho Chi Minh. I think maybe we just had a bit too long in Hanoi.
Yeah, I feel like we were there for 3 days, and you really need, like, 1.5, 2 days.
Yeah. I think also, like, I didn't manage to go to the water puppet show because I was ill. And, like,
which is
maybe
like one
if
of
I
the
had,
main things.
Yeah, is that one of the main things to do in Hanoi. Maybe if I had gone there, maybe I would have rated it a bit higher. Like, for me, it felt like you would just walk around the old quarter. There's Train Street, which we went to, which is famous just because a massive train goes on the tracks and it's like 1 meter away from you.
It's a really tiny street.
Like a tiny little alley, and the train comes so close. I just found it weird the fact that we humans just. Everyone was congregating there in the cafes and stuff just to see a train go
past.
Yeah,
it was weird.
Like, but, like, that was cute. And, like, the food in Hanoi, like, we went to Banh Mi 25. No, it actually wasn't that great.
I don't remember the food in Hanoi being particularly great. Like, we went to a few places that were, like, seemingly meant to be really good. Like, Banh Mi 25 is apparently a really good Banh Mi place. I thought it was a good Banh Mi, don't get me wrong, but I wouldn't rave about it.
No.
And we went to, like, the Note Cafe, a coffee place. Because of its aesthetics, it was really cool. But, like, the actual coffee there was average.
Yeah. No, so Hanoi's nice, but, like, we've said this already, but we just prefer smaller cities and smaller towns rather than the big capitals. Like, they're just not that nice.
Yeah. So after Hanoi, we flew to Bangkok. We were in Bangkok only for one night, and then we headed straight down on an overnight bus to Koh Samui, which is one of the islands in the south. We're going to be going back to Bangkok after doing the Thai Islands.
Yeah.
And at the end of the trip,
properly. Yeah, so we don't feel like we can quite give Bangkok a rating yet, because we were literally there for 24 hours, like less than 24
hours. Than 24 hours, so, like, we hardly saw it, so we'll rate it when we, like, properly go.
But do you have any, like, first impressions?
First impressions with Bangkok would be that it was a lot more run down feel than I was expecting, like, the capital of Thailand to be.
Mm.
The temples, we only went to one temple. We went to Wat Pho, which is the reclining Buddha temple, which was super, super impressive. And I'd say that it felt like all of their money was going into all the temples, which were incredibly impressive and spectacular. But, like, the actual city itself was completely run down.
Yeah, I thought the temples were really, really impressive. Like, when we go back there, we're going to do the Royal Palace, and we're going to do some of the other temples, which I'm quite looking forward to.
Yeah.
But just, like, that one temple that we went to already was really, really cool.
It was
the
really cool.
The Buddha was massive.
Yeah. I think that was the biggest bird I've seen.
So big. Like,
its toes were huge.
Yeah, so we went straight to the islands, and the reason we've come straight to the island is because of the full moon party.
Yes, this is a massive thing that only happens on Koh Phangan, which is one of the Thai islands in the southeast. And that happened actually last night, like Friday the 15th. And it happens once a month, I think.
Yeah, once a month, every full moon.
And it's just a massive beach party.
Yeah, we were debating for ages whether to even bother going, because it kind of has directed the way that we've done Thailand, because we probably would have done north first and then the south.
Yeah, and it also directed the speed that we went from like Bangkok down to Koh Samui and then straight across to Koh Phangan in order to get here for Friday.
Yeah, so we arrived in Bangkok on Sunday night. We had one night in Bangkok and then straight away got an overnight bus.
Yeah,
and back from Bangkok on Monday night down south.
Yeah, down south. So we had to take a main bus, two mini buses and a ferry to get to Koh Samui.
How did you rate the buses compared to Vietnam buses?
The journey or the bus?
The bus.
So like the actual bus, I would say, was better than the bus in Vietnam.
Mm.
It was way, like, you had way more space.
Maybe that's just, it was a lot more comfortable. We were in the back seats.
I don't know, I found it way more comfortable. The buses in Vietnam where you're lying down the whole time, I found it always super, super cramped, really uncomfortable. Whereas this one, like, I thought was pretty comfortable, so I would rate it better. The journey as a whole, horrendous.
Most journeys are horrendous. I like that you're at least a little bit lying down in Vietnam, whereas this one was like,
you can move the chair and lie down to the same level.
No, it wasn't quite the same
level. No, it might not be the same level.
Like, well, like I felt like still, we weren't lying down enough to be even able to sleep.
Mm,
I don't feel like I got much sleep.
Yeah, I don't think I got much sleep.
Also, the journey was way longer. See, in Vietnam, you'd leave the place at like 9, 10pm and you'd arrive at 4am. And then because you arrived so early in that place, you would get a solid 3-hour nap when you arrived at your hostel, like either on some sofa beds or something. Whereas here, like, it was a solid 10 hours.
Yeah, but I think the difference also was that we were going to an island, and this is going to be the same going back, and we're going to be coming back from an island. So you had to, like, you got to Surat Thani, then you had to get a minibus to the port, a ferry, and then a minibus there. So it was a lot of, like, broker journeys, whereas, say, in Vietnam, you would have only had that first bus. So by the time you got to Surat Thani, you would have then been able to nap. And it would have been the same if we weren't going to islands.
Yeah, that's true. So we decided to go to Koh Samui first, which is an island just south of Koh Phangan.
And I think it's more of a, I want to say luxury, I don't think it's a luxury place. Like, it's kind of like maybe seen as a more high-end island, is that a thing?
Like, I didn't really feel like it was,
Feel like it was, but like, that's what it's known to be. It's more resort-based, it's more families on holiday. It didn't really feel like that, it just felt like an island.
Yeah, so we were there for like a day just before we came to Koh Phangan. It was like nice, but I think maybe I was still like tired from the journey, and like we were staying in a hostel in the north of the island, and Koh Samui is quite a big island, and to get around is a bit hard. They have these trucks that are public transport, because anyone can just grab, like, go on the back of it. So that's the way that we managed to go to like one of the nicer beaches, one of the bigger areas.
Yeah,
to Chuang Wang Beach. There was a big Buddha near us.
Yeah, we had temples near us that were like the main temples to see on the island. So we went to the big Buddha and we went to one on a lake.
Yeah,
which has like loads of arms, which were both like pretty impressive, I'd say. But not as impressive as the one in Bangkok.
Yeah.
And then the main beaches are a bit further away. So like, if you had a motorbike, you could probably get around the island. But when we were getting a taxi, like, it adds up. Like, the money adds up.
Yeah. So we just went to Chuang Wang Beach. I really liked the beach there. It was, like, really big.
It was quite big.
Lots of families, again, like, in the water. I'd rate it.
Would you rate Koh Samui?
I think if we had spent an extra day there, maybe we'd get more of a gist of the island. Mm. And also, if we had got bikes around the island, I would have enjoyed it more.
Yeah, I think so.
Because actually, now we can motorbike.
Now you can motorbike.
I can motorbike.
Or, like, you have at least tried motorbiking properly now. On Copenhagen, we've had a couple of days.
Yeah.
Biking.
So it would have been nice if we had just... If we had learnt to motorbike earlier, then we could do all these things. But now that we can, it's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, so personally, I rated it, a...
Sorry, but just back to the motorbiking. It's not essential, as in, like, if you're happy to spend the money on taxis, you definitely can use the taxis and get around. But motorbiking is a lot easier way to see the island independently, and to gives you way more freedom to, like, get to a place, not like it, go somewhere else, and be on your own schedule of where you want to go and when you want to do it.
I'd say it is basically an essential. You know, it's not, like, super expensive to get a taxi. It's, like, more expensive than a bike, of course.
But it's more also just the effort of having to, like, wait for one and, like, keep getting one.
Yeah, exactly. When we were on Koh Samui, we had to, like, wait around, and you have to, like, barter with every single taxi, which is so annoying. Like, every time... Sometimes it's just like, just let me get on and give me a reasonable price. Stop trying to overcharge me because I'm a tourist.
Yeah.
So that way, motorbikes are really necessary.
Yeah.
But yeah, Koh Samui, I would rate a 7 out of 10, like, average.
I gave it a 6 out of 10. Like, I thought it was, pretty, like, okay.
Yeah, like, I think I prefer Koh Phangan, but that's mainly because we've seen more of it as well.
Yeah, probably. Let's move on to our tips and tales of the week.
Do you want to start with your tip?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah?
So, my tip with you this week is from the airport on the way to Thailand.
Oh, I know what you're about.
No, when we were in Thailand even. Sarah likes to get through. It happened every single plane journey we've got, actually, like, thinking back to them. Whenever we get off a plane, Sarah loves to try and, like, race everybody to be the first one off the plane and through passport control and to get her bag. She's like, there's going to be a queue at immigration. And I'm like, there's not, it's fine. And
I did not know that this is going to be your tip. Wow.
Also, Sarah had been, like, ill, as we've said, for, like, the last 5 days. And that included the day
that we were flying.
And, like, when you're ill, you walk slowly and whatever, ambling along all the other time. And then suddenly we get off the plane, like, Speedy Gonzales. Like, and I couldn't keep up.
I think it's been inbuilt in me from my family. You always rush after a plane. You run. You do not want to be stuck in an immigration line for hours and hours on end.
But
you've got
to
get to the front
been.
Of the plane. I know it's never happened to us, but you never know. It could be that one time.
Like, we were through that airport so fast, there was nothing.
Yeah, but, like, it would be worse if I was feeling ill and, like, everything that happened. We just had a bad few days, and then if we had been waiting in a line for, like, ages as well, I would have been in an even worse mood. Especially because we were arriving really late at night. I think this is also the reason I was rushing. We arrived at, like, 11 p.m.
Yeah.
So we had to then get a taxi into Bangkok, which is a solid half an hour, 40-minute taxi.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to arrive at the hostel at, like, 2, 3... Like, we arrived at 1 a.m.
Yeah.
I didn't want to arrive at 2, 3 a.m. because I needed sleep.
Got it.
That's my reasoning.
I still think it's unnecessary.
That was quite funny. That was a tip. My tip from this week is that you make me make decisions when I'm ill, and I don't want to make decisions when I'm ill. I think this is when...
What decisions have I made you make when you were ill?
It was in when we were in Bangkok, and it was like, should we go to this temple or should we not? I did have an opinion as to whether we should go to the temple or not, and I was like... But at the end of the day, we had, like, discussed it for quite a time, and I was like, I just don't care. I just want a decision to be made about whether we're going in or whether we're going to go get food. Don't ask me anymore what I think is the best thing. Just make a decision and let's go. Because when I'm ill, it's just... All I'm thinking is, I feel ill. I feel ill. I feel ill. I can't think about anything else.
But as the ill one, wouldn't you want to be the one to say how you felt about going or not going? And in the end, I decided you weren't... Well, we weren't going because you were miserable.
Yeah.
And it wasn't worth going any longer.
Yeah, but, like, I gave my opinion, but then we were still deliberating. And it's just that it's just the, like, should we go, should we not? It's like that part, that way, this way, who cares? Let's just go with whichever one.
You're not the most happy when you're ill.
I'm really not. I have no patience. I have no nothing.
You don't have anything.
So that's my tip.
Noted for when you're ill next.
Make all the decisions for me. And I just have to go along with it, regardless. On to our tales of the week. As we've mentioned, I was very ill when we were in Hanoi. And I think it might have been as a result of the tour that we did in Ha Long Bay. A lot of the people after our tour like asked us, like, are you feeling ill? Or like whatever, because quite a lot of them were. And I think as soon as we arrived at Hanoi, basically the first day, it was quite feverish. And then just had a really bad stomach and was not doing so well for like a couple of days after that.
Yeah.
And so because I was ill, Hanoi had the opportunity to have many little solo adventures around Hanoi.
Yeah, I had a few adventures around Hanoi. Went around the old quarter for a little explore. Spoke to a few local people at the markets.
Mm-hmm.
Was offered to try a tropical lychee.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very similar to that. And I tried that, which was okay. And then I ended up buying a bag from her, which I didn't end up loving, actually, because they were really chewy and hard to eat.
I didn't mind
but
it.
they were all right. I went to a coffee shop and had a nice chat with a coffee guy. I just like bring back Sarah a few random things
yeah.
from my travels. And then Friday we bought tickets for Hanoi's water puppet show, which is one of the like number one things to do in Hanoi. But Sarah wasn't feeling too well Saturday night to go, so I ended up having a solo theatre trip, which was a bit of a weird experience. The puppet show is very strange. I don't understand what the story is, and it's just like little, it's not really puppets, but it's little like models, like just dancing around in the water, and there's dragons and a cat and a mice, and it's just, the whole thing is just very strange. But then I got to walk around the night markets and the lake and see what was going on. And actually at the time, the police 60th anniversary or something like that.
Mm.
So it was really busy, and there was I don't know if this is always there, but there was just a lot going on around the lake with like families and kids doing, like, they had Jenga, there was like arts and crafts. And then in the night markets, like I'm sure they always do, they had like loads of stands of different food and drinks and things. So I got myself like a nice milk tea. I brought Sarah back some food and snacks.
Yeah.
So yeah, I had a bit of time solo traveling out in.
Did you enjoy it?
Free exploring Hanoi.
Did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed it like a bit. I've done it a couple of times now, because I did it. Where
last
else
time I was ill on Gili Island.
Yeah, in Gili, like I was went out free exploring as well, which I remember quite liking then. In Hanoi, like, it was nice for a bit. Like, I like aspects of it, like the freedom to just like do whatever. Like, is nice. Not that I don't really have that anyway, but like
I trap you. Like, I think it's quite funny. You have free reign of the purse, and every time you come back with like different things, and like
I brought you back chocolate. Actually, we still have that.
Oh yeah. Normally, I'm the one carrying the bum bag. I don't know why. Like, it just happens to be that I'm the bum bag lady.
You're the bum bag lady.
So Hannah's never carrying it. So I feel like a lot of the decisions on like what we end up buying or like what we end up eating maybe come more from me, or I don't know exactly.
I think market wise, yeah, rather than like restaurant wise,
like it shouldn't.
No. But say even today,
yeah,
if I'm looking at something and then I have to come and ask you for money, like I'm like going to my mother to ask her for.
Maybe you should wear a bum bag too, so that we can both
have a bit of cash,
have a
on
bit
me.
Of independence,
maybe.
Because yeah, whenever you come back from your little solo adventures, you do always come back with like random things, and I always think, well, if I was with her, would she have bought the same stuff?
No, I doubt it.
No,
I would have bought those fruit things probably.
No, yeah, that's Hannah's solo adventure tours, adventure tales. Our second tale of the week is our trip from Bangkok to Koh Samui. So as we said, it was a very, very long bus, and then minibus, and then ferry, and then bus again.
Yeah.
To get here.
It was just like the longest journey of my entire life.
But
the main part, that
the main
was
part
awful.
Of this journey, which made us so upset and angry, was that we got scammed.
Yeah.
4.5 months of travelling and we haven't got scammed yet. Not this whole time. And it finally happened.
Yeah. So we're at Fanny, when we were kicked off of the main bus and told to wait for the minibus to take us to the port, they were calling everybody over one by one to show their tickets and ask them where they were going to next. And then they would send you onto the minibus. So once we got called over, we told her that we were going to Koh Samui and then going to Copenhagen, and she was like, okay, there's been a storm, which was true, and there was no boats running to Copenhagen apart from this one speed ferry which had a standard price, and that she would give us also a two-way transfer. And we were like, that's a ridiculous amount. It was like 10 times the amount we thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it was 30 quid each.
Yeah, and we were like, that's mental. And she was like, no, it's the only one. If you can find it cheaper, I'll give you your money back. 24 hours, you can call me. I was like, okay, fine. If it's the only one, we've got no choice.
It just seemed so legit because the weather had been awful. And, like, it would make sense. If the weather's awful, maybe a lot of the other boat operators had decided not to.
And also, we weren't in a random place. Like, we had gotten the main bus from Bangkok with, like, a massive group. The whole bus from Bangkok was filled with everybody, like, our age, backpacking, traveling. The whole thing was, like, seemingly safe, you know? And everyone got off the bus at Surat Thani, and then they were divided into, like, the islands that they were going to get the right minibus to the right port. And every single person was being called up to these people, one by one, and asked what they're doing and where they're going and paying them money. And when you're traveling around Asia, it's kind of just like, every journey, like we've said, is like a bit unexpected and unknown. But if you're told to, like, just get off a bus and wait, and then another bus comes and you're told to get on it, you just kind of have to do it.
Cause you always just follow instructions that people give.
Yeah.
And, like, it's felt dodgy sometimes and it's felt, like weird. But, like, it's always worked out.
And it's the way to do it. So, like, they told us to get off the bus and to wait. And then they tell you when to get on the next minibus. And if everyone was going up to these people, like, when they were called over, going up to these people and showing them our ticket, and then they told us what we needed to buy, then it seemed legit.
But anyway, so she scammed us, 30 quid each for this ferry.
And when we got to Koh Samui, the hostel was like, yeah, the ticket to Copenhagen is 200 baht. We were like, what? That's mental.
Which is £4.
And she took a picture of the ticket and said that she was going to send it to the tourist police. And she had no idea. She was like, loads of people have shown up and been scammed in Surat Thani. And she tried to help call the lady. And I called the lady so many times. But she was not having any of it. And she was telling me that they were going to come like hours before they were due to come.
I think the worst part was that, like, yes, she charged us loads. But the fact is that, like, we didn't even end up getting this ferry that we bought because Hannah called her and said, like, you've overcharged me. She, like, didn't apologise or whatever. She just said, oh, be ready for pickup at 7:30.
And they were meant to come at 10:30.
Yeah, so we were like, you said 10:30 a.m. Like, 7:30 was way too early in the morning. We were just so tired.
We had only got to Koh Samui at 12:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah, there was no way we were going to be up that early. So we decided to just
sack it off, like, spend an extra £4 and get a later boat.
Yeah, so we didn't bother getting that bus. And I think that was just like, it was just so frustrating because if it had stayed the same price, maybe we'd have still got that.
Yeah.
Also, the pier that we were going to get it from was like really far away. Whereas the pier that we ended up getting our boat from the hostel was a minute walk. So it worked out way better.
Yeah, basically we should take our own advice and do everything through the hostel.
Yeah, do things from the hostel. Don't get scammed by random ladies in Surat Thani. Don't trust anyone in Surat Thani.
I would say don't trust that many people in Bangkok outside of where you're staying.
Yeah, Thailand feels like a very scammy.
Yeah, I mean in Thailand.
Like, Thailand feels so scammy and, like, dodgy.
Yeah.
On to our lesson learned.
So our first lesson learned is that, like we did, we'd really recommend doing Halong Bay from Cat Bar Island. I think it works out way cheaper and it's better value for money.
Yeah, 100%. So a normal tour from Hanoi, like a 2-day, one night tour in a luxury cruise, is like 100 quid each.
Yeah.
Whereas we managed to, like, you have to pay for a bus to Cat Bar Island, that's like 10 quid. And then you have to stay on Cat Bar Island, a hostel, that's like 5-6 quid. But the actual tour that you pay for on the day,
it was $30, I think.
Yeah, £25 for seeing Ha Long Bay, and you get the full, like, we were in Ha Long Bay for like 8 hours.
Yeah.
Which is a solid amount of time to see the area, like, fully explore, like, do the kayaking, do the swimming.
Yeah, like, you're not rushed.
You're
like,
not rushed at all, whereas if we had done a tour, like, we would have only got to Ha Long Bay in the afternoon, only had the afternoon there.
Yeah.
And then if you did a night one, then you'd get the next day too. But it's just better value for money to do it from Cat Bar Island, so that's what we would recommend to other people too, if you're coming to Vietnam and want to do Ha Long Bay properly.
Yeah.
My lesson from the week is that to anyone who has a weak immune system, unlucky enough to be like me,
I'd say also hasn't had the cholera vaccine, I'm gonna say that that's what's helped me get through.
You might be right. Maybe I should have got the cholera vaccine.
You won't know.
I will never know whether that's the reason I'm the one that keeps getting bad stomachs and you don't. But be prepared to be sat in the toilet a lot in Asia.
Also, and maybe also have a soggy bum.
Yeah, because of the bum guns.
Yeah.
They mainly use bum guns rather than toilet paper. Like, there's barely any toilet paper. Like, a lot of bathrooms don't even supply toilet paper because they just have a bum gun. So, soggy bums and
sore butts.
Sore butts, yeah. That's what you can expect from Southeast Asia. And finally, we actually ended up going to the cinema in Hanoi.
We're number one Marvel fans.
Yeah, we really are. We're not actually, like, big Marvel fans.
I got really into it before coming away.
You've become a big Marvel fan. I like Marvel, and so we decided to, when I was ill, to go to the cinema, just as it's something very chill to do.
Yeah, the new Thor had just come out, so we needed to see it.
And, like, all the films, of course, like, are in English. They're not going to be in Vietnamese, so we went, and it was a really nice change.
Yeah,
so
it was a really nice change, and it was also good, like, when the weather wasn't so grey, and, like, we had kind of completed Hanoi.
Yeah, and the cinema is really cheap in Asia.
Oh, yeah. It was, like, £2, I think it cost. I became a cinema member.
Yeah, it was literally £2 to go to cinema, so would recommend.
It was great.
On to our highs and our lows of the week.
Do you want to go first with your high?
Sure. So I feel like this week I was feeling very, very miserable.
Struggled to find a high?
I really struggled to find a high. Like, I was not happy for a long time.
Yeah.
But my high is going to be seeing the jellyfish in Ha Long Bay.
Nice.
Like, when we were kayaking and there was one specific bay that had thousands of jellyfish. They were stingless jellyfish as well, so you could touch them. And it was just really, really cool.
It was really cool. And they were all different sizes because they were just probably different ages. But, like, some of them were, like, really, really tiny. And, like, some, and they were also slightly different colours. Like, there was a blue one that was really cool.
Yeah.
I really liked that as well.
So I'd say that was my high.
So mine was either going to be that, but that's not what I used in the end. I look back on my pictures trying to remember a time that I was really, like, enjoyed. And my high of the week was the puppies at Train Street.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, when we were at Train Street, we were sat in a cafe and we spotted people across the road hugging puppies.
Yeah, just like a load of, like, a group of, like, tourists just, like, sitting and cuddling puppies.
And we were like, let's get in on that. So then we go across the street and we go to the cafe and they just let us hold and hug puppies.
They just let you sit and hug their puppies. And they were so cute. There was this tiny brown one that was just adorable.
Really, really cute.
Yeah, I love that. It did make my day. I love puppies.
Yeah. That's a good high.
Thanks. What about your low?
Many, many lows.
Everything else other than the jellyfish and the puppies?
Basically. Nah. A specific low was probably when in Hanoi I was feeling very feverish. Like, I thought I had COVID again. I was convinced I had COVID again. Yeah. Could have. We never know. It was when you went to the water puppet show. I decided to stay in because I was just feeling, like, awful. And I think I had stayed in that room in the hostel for, like, hours and hours. Felt like I was there for, like, 6 hours straight just trying to sleep. And, like, I couldn't even sleep because my head hurt too much to sleep.
Yeah.
And it was really dark in that room as well. Like, there was no daylight.
No, they don't
not a lot of hostels seem to have windows.
No, it was all dark and dingy and everyone was coughing, everyone was ill.
Yeah, I just wanted to be out of the room.
It felt like I was like in a bit of a prison. I was like, this is not great.
Oh dear.
What was your low?
So my low from the week was when we arrived in Koh Samui. Felt like everything was just going from bad to worse.
Mm.
So we had to arrived after this terrible journey, then found out that we had got scammed and was trying to sort out all of that. And then I had a shower and opened my case and I was trying to get dressed and I had lost all my underwear. And like, I don't actually know how else to explain it, but I used packing cubes to pack my suitcase and somehow my whole underwear packing cube seems to have vanished.
It's actually quite funny.
And then also then just to add to the mix, I had bought some ground coffee in Vietnam to take home because they're famous for their coffee and it's really good coffee. And the packet had leaked, like had opened and spilt over my case. So now the remaining clothes minus my underwear was like covered in coffee granules.
You were really not happy. You were really upset.
And I had no knickers. And Sarah was still ill. All in all, I was not a happy bunny.
Yeah, no, you were very upset then. But we're all fine now.
We're all good now. We're sharing knickers.
Everything
passed. I'm not sure I should keep saying knickers.
The joys of travelling. On to our interesting facts of the week.
Yeah, I actually don't have any facts for you this week. I was trying to find some about the puppet show to tell you, but I don't have any.
Well, I didn't have any for you last week, so...
But okay. I can tell you water puppetry is very old in Hanoi.
I know a fact, actually, about it.
Oh.
Should I tell you my fact about it now?
Yeah, go on.
It was introduced by the Li dynasty, and they used to do it over the river in the, like, ancient days. The guy would get into the river and do the puppet show in the river. And then, like, they've kept it up now just as entertainment to keep the tradition going. Fact about Halong Bay. Halong Bay has over 1,000 islands.
Wow.
And do you remember the guy on the boat telling us about the legend of the dragons? Yeah, so it's kind of like the Loch Ness Monster vibe, where they believe that a dragon still lives in Halong Bay, or at least like it was a legend. They like to like tell the story of how. I don't remember exactly the specifics, but like these dragons came to fight and help them in a war, but the dragons were from heaven. But then they liked Halong Bay and decided to stay because it's a nice area. And so apparently the dragons still live there. My final fact of the week is that Koh Samui is Thailand's second largest island.
What's the largest? Phuket?
I have no idea. It might be Phuket. Probably is Phuket. It did feel quite big. I think it would take a solid hour of driving around it.
So our upcoming plans are that we are heading to Koh Tao in the morning.
Yeah, we've actually spent 4 days in Koh Phangan, or we've just been behind on like episodes and that kind of stuff. So we are saving it for next week, and you're going to have a bit of a devil whammy next week, hopefully, with episodes. Koh Tao is famous because it's the cheapest place in the world to do diving, but we're not going to do diving.
We're going to do some snorkeling. It's meant to be really good for like seeing fish, I think.
Yeah, we're not going to do diving just because I'm not that fussed on diving.
I think it would hurt my ears.
Yeah, but we're going to have some fun snorkeling, and then after Koh Tao, we are planning on going to some other Thai islands.
On like the west?
West side of Thailand, so Phi Phi Islands, Phuket. We haven't planned it exactly, but we're going there
and
after Koh Tao.
Krabi and Rainy Beach.
Yeah.
So to keep up to date with us, follow us on Instagram at the Travelling Team Podcast.
And if you want to email us, you can email us at thetravellingtopod@gmail.com. Any questions, any suggestions, anything that you want to share. And if you want to turn on your notifications for the episodes so that you know when they're coming out, and if you want to leave us a 5-star review, you
can. That would be lovely.
That would be lovely.
Thanks for listening.
And we'll speak to you again next week. Bye.